It's the offseason, Jay, and you know, as often means, it didn't for a long time. You had the same manager for a long time, but here we are again after one offseason without a hiring, a firing, and then a hiring. Here we are again looking for another Padres manager. How you feeling today, Jay?
You know, Kevin, I never, it's funny, I never met Jay Stengler, never met Andy Green. Both of them seemed like fine gentlemen. I thought they both handled themselves well in their jobs and in terms of the media and the public and that sort of thing. And they both seemed like, you know, smart baseball men. I don't think Andy Green ever had a chance to succeed here. Certainly Jay Stengler did and did for a while. I mean, last year, 37-23, they won a playoff series. This year started off, you know, 34-19, even started off 66-49, as we've talked about many times. And then, you know, it's tough to survive 12-34 and obviously extenuating circumstances were involved in that. Jake Arrieta, Vince Velasquez, all that kind of stuff. But somebody's got to take the fall. You know, at this point, it's, you know, I'm sure some players will probably take the fall too, but it's easiest to get rid of the manager. I mean, I don't think there was, I can't believe anybody actually thought that AJ Preller was in any kind of trouble with 5 years left on his contract. And certainly Peter Seidler made that clear yesterday, talking with Bryce Miller and other reporters, that he believes strongly in AJ, and we can talk about that as well. You know, I'll never celebrate anybody losing their job, you know, whether it's a team that I root for or a team that, you know, we cover or anything like that. I mean, as you wrote, I thought very eloquently on Sunday, this is not fun when people do this. And I will never understand people who celebrate this sort of thing. I mean, it's, you know, this is life. These are human beings. These guys have families. They work hard, just like we all do. And, you know, he didn't do great for your baseball team, but I would hope people would think of it in a little bigger picture than that. And with that, what did you think, Kevin?
As you said, Jay, you don't survive going, what was it, 12-34 at the end. That doesn't happen. Even people that were thought Jace needed to go internally thought, you know, it didn't have to go like this. We were still winning when some of these things were there. Jace Tingler was never a forceful personality. Jace Tingler was surrounded by a strong staff, and that was by design, and it ended up sort of working against him. And these things were happening even when they were winning. They could have kept winning. They didn't. Jace Tingler could still be the manager. He's not, because they went 12-34, and these things came to light. They came to light publicly, but and I do believe that AJ Preller and Peter Seidler were aware of some of these things beforehand in terms of Jace's presence in the clubhouse, maybe not taking care of some things not being taught the way that the front office wanted them to. But they certainly became more aware as players became more vocal, as losses mounted and fingers were pointed, people became more vocal about this. So there was no way that he was going to survive.
I guess the question is, and Peter mentioned yesterday that I noticed some things in June, and I guess the obvious question we could ask today is, what did you do about it in June? You know, what did he do in June? What did AJ Preller do in June? Was any of this addressed with Tingler at that point? And then just sort of, they felt like, hey, we're still plodding along here. We're still winning games. We're still in the wild card. Hey, we're never going to catch the Dodgers and the Giants. And we all know the Giants are going to come back to us. So I wonder about that a little bit.
I know it ruins the narrative of AJ Preller has his fingers in everything, but I'm writing about it today. It actually sort of shows the opposite. I can attest to the fact that AJ Preller was not around as much this year. He felt it was the manager's job. He felt after what they did last year, you know, they were all together last year. AJ was on every trip. He had to be, basically. You know, if you were a part of tier one or tier two, you were always with the team. And so they all were this cohesive group, and they talked about things. They sort of were forced to talk about things. They talked about that last year, how like they couldn't go anywhere else. So there they were, just all BSing and talking baseball and brainstorming problems that would come up. And that was great. And he thought that it would continue this year, and it kind of didn't, because first off, it's 162 games. You can't go intense like that for that long. People are not always together. As things started to sort of crack, Jace didn't take care of some things. So if AJ Preller is to be believed, and there are some things that I talked to him about in August, late August, let's say, and September that he said he saw, that I know for a fact he was letting happen on the staff and in the clubhouse, because that's his way. Yes, AJ has some trust issues with the team. Yes, there's some player development problems, evidently, since no one's here except Fernando Tatis Jr. but this narrative that AJ has his fingers in everything is, I think people have taken that to the nth degree, that he's setting the lineup card and texting down to Jace Tingler during games or all these other things. And that's just not the case. I promise you. There are things I can't say, but what beyond what I do say, which is I try to give you as much as I can, but I have seen with my own eyes AJ backing off and allowing things to happen. And so that's one thing, Jay, is that I think that at that time, first of all, it would have taken some real foresight when they were whatever it was, 50, they were hovering at 15 games over 500. Right. They had gone to the playoffs the year before. So, gosh, this doesn't look right, but we'll let them work it out. And that's how I think that it happened. Now, it's up to them to make sure that doesn't happen again.
Well, I was going to say, so what does that mean going forward in terms of he let it happen and let it continue? And I think you make a very good point there, that as long as things were going okay, and maybe there were cracks here and cracks there, but it was like, well, we don't need to do anything drastic, except maybe get a couple pitchers. Which obviously wasn't on Tingler, or keep guys from getting hurt. But I think as you were talking, I was thinking, well, what does that mean going forward? And what kind of manager now do they look for? I mean, everybody, you know, feels like, okay, they got to get an experienced manager here, somebody who can, you know, come in and rule the clubhouse and that sort of thing. But does AJ and by extension, Peter Seidler in this case, are they looking for someone who they can leave alone and we'll take care of things like they did? Or are they worried now that, hey, we left this guy to take care of things and he didn't, and these little cracks became huge cracks and, you know, in combination with some other things, sank our season. So how does that affect what they're looking for going forward?
I think that the lesson learned is that they need a guy who has done it before, who has said, hey, this is how we're going to handle this. Hey, stop. I have players that have expressed the way that I'm interpreting it, based on the earnestness with which they say it, the way that they volunteered it, the way that I haven't led players and the players are all saying the same thing. I believe players are practically begging for a guy who comes in who instills fear, you know, and that's the fear of God. That's not, oh, I'm afraid of you. That's a respect. That's a fear of, this guy is going to set the tone. We're going to play his way. There will be no garbage. Now, here's the tough part. You ain't sitting, Manny. No, I'm not calling Manny Machado a problem. You're not sitting Manny Machado. He makes $30 million. You're not sitting Fernando Tatis Jr. I mean, there are certain things that are going to be out of the hands of a manager at this point. But a manager who has been there knows how to handle these things. He sets the tone. He lays down the law. I hate to use this phrase, but I'm going on the fly here. Afraid. He's not afraid of confrontation. He knows how to assert himself. And Jace Tingler was not that guy. Whether that was because he had too much faith in the men he was leading, too much faith in his staff, was there a mixed message? Whatever it was, Jace Tingler didn't take, you know, the reins. And so they want a guy who's going to do that. Folks, AJ Preller is a scout. He's at most peace when he is out at a high school game or in Japan or the Dominican watching baseball. He does not want to be on every trip. He does not want to be around the team all the time. His job, he believes, is to continue making the team better year after year after year. He wants a manager who is going to control the situation.
Now the question is, while you're saying the stuff about they want someone to be, you know, a guy that comes in and is a tough guy, you know, hard ass, if you will, that sort of thing. Everything we hear about today's player and today's athlete, not just in this sport, but probably any sport, is that there's a point where maybe they'll accept that, but then there's a point where, you know, like I think of someone like Dick Williams, like if Dick Williams came in today and tried to do what Dick Williams did, I see a revolt coming. So it seems like there's probably, and you can tell me if I'm reading this right, there's sort of a line there that this tough guy, respect me, respect us sort of thing can't cross. And that's where you need, and that's where I think you need an experience. You need someone with experience. And I mean, obviously the three names that have been, that have come up the most are Bruce Bochy, Ron Washington, and Buck Showalter. And I guess the question is, do all three of those guys fit that mold where they would be okay, where the players would be okay with them doing what they do as sort of the, and I hate this term, but I'll use it anyway, the old school manager who comes in and lays down the law and this is the way we're going to do things and that sort of thing. So, you know, where do you think things stand in that respect? Could you, because what the Padres used to do way back in the day, and I looked at their list of managers yesterday when I was putting together that chart, you know, they went from Dick Williams to Steve Boros to Larry Boa to Greg Riddick, I believe. And it was just like, you talk about extremes. And it seems like now what they're looking for is someone who kind of combines all those traits. And so I'm just wondering where you think, if you think that's sort of where we're headed here.
Well, it's interesting because the three guys you mentioned, let's say, and I don't know if all of them are necessarily real candidates when it comes down to it. There's certainly people that the Padres have considered, but whether they will continue to consider them, that I do not know. But all three of them would have different styles too. Like Ron Washington, from my understanding, not terribly concerned with strategy. But he's big into teaching, right? And players love him. I'm telling you, I was talking with players and watching players both look at him and go over and interact with him when he was in San Diego. Players love this guy. Buck Showalter, kind of a hard ass. I don't think Bruce Bochy, hard ass, had a certain way of managing and being involved and letting everybody know he cared. I was my understanding, never covered him on a daily basis. But three different ways to do it. And like I said, the fear is not it doesn't have to be a hard ass. It has to be someone who's been there. And when he says something, you know that that's the guy. That's the guy. This Hot Lava Padres podcast segment is brought to you by Jack Powell Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram, located in Escondido and serving the San Diego community for over 60 years.
Who has the best deals in the auto game? It's got to be Jack Powell Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, the Auto All-Stars. Right now, lease a new 2021 Ram 1500 Warlock Edition, Jeep Grand Cherokee Laredo, or Jeep Renegade Latitude for only $198 a month or 0% APR and no payments for 90 days. Head to Jack Powell Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Escondido, San Diego, where we make shopping easy. Find these deals today during Jeep Adventure Days.
How about this? Going back to the Grand Slam by Fernando Tatis Jr. Players, look, a lot of this is revisionist history. Players wouldn't necessarily, they say, have had a huge problem with Tingler, Jace Tingler, the day after Fernando Tatis Jr. hit the 3-0 pitch fastball down the middle for the Grand Slam at Texas that prompted this whole new school, old school debate. If he just said, look, you know, I had the take sign on, Tatis and I are going to talk about that, or we have talked about it or whatever. End of story.
Right.
Instead, he fell all over himself to respect the Rangers and the next day called a press conference to basically apologize for it. And it was almost like, okay, cool. We're going to keep winning and stuff like that. 60 game season. We're all pushing. But the more that then problems built, it traced back to that where it was like, this guy doesn't have a presence about him. To the players. And I do think that AJ Preller and Peter Seidler understand, and I'm writing this today, their constituency is the players. You don't let the inmates run the asylum, but you do understand that it has to be a guy who leads the players. So who is it, Jay? I don't know. One thing that has been impressed upon me, it doesn't have to be a guy who's managed before. An experienced guy is a guy who has maybe played a lot, coached, has those traits. You bring in a guy who has the respect of the players right away. You have a bench coach. How about David Ross? Now, he doesn't have the talent necessarily. He never had the pitching. The Chicago Cubs, you realize the Chicago Cubs in July were the team that were only like three games behind the Padres in the wild card race. They never had the pitching. They knew that, right? But David Ross, who'd they bring in as his bench coach? A guy who...
I think it was a guy, Andy something or other, wasn't
roundly it? Roundly considered to have excellent baseball managing skills, as in game managing skills. David Ross has the clubhouse. Andy Green has. So some sort of a situation like that could be. David Ross has never managed before. Does he have the respect of the clubhouse? Yeah, I think he does. So you talk about messages, Jay. I go back to Marty Schottenheimer, and we all know that that was handled poorly. I promise you that those veterans had started to tire of Marty Schottenheimer's cliches and his dramatics and his theatrics. But the Padres need not worry about that now. Let's say they bring in a guy. Let's say the White Sox, they brought in La Russa. They win the World Series this year. In 2 years, those guys could all hate La Russa. All right? The Padres need not worry about that now. They have not made a legitimate playoffs since 2006. All right. So if we count last year, they've made the playoffs once in 15 years. They need to worry about a guy coming in and, you know, helping to remake the culture here.
I think that's a good point you make about experience doesn't necessarily have to mean managing experience. It probably doesn't hurt, but, you know, but again, there are other factors involved, and there are people who have been around the game for a long time. And I think, as you mentioned, there are former player would be good. I think someone who's, if it's not going to be a guy who's managed for 20 years, a former player who was around a long time, been in a lot of different clubhouses, then served as a coach for many years. So we'll see. Anyway,
I wish that Skip Schumacher hadn't been on this staff. because someone like him, Will Venable, Phil Nevin, there might, you know, I'm throwing out guys that are seen as players that have been around for a long time. There are certainly more that I am, you know, I will say this there. It has been said now for about a month that one thing that they want is a respected, strong coach who is Dominican, that they lacked that on the staff. And they have one very important player who is Dominican, and they certainly have other players that are coming up, and that this is just something that's important. And if you look around at a lot of the staffs, they have that. And, Fernando Tatis Jr. is 22 years old and so far has lost his close friend Franmil Reyes, has lost his close friend Jorge Mateo. And so there is a thought whether that's the recently fired Mets manager, Luis Rojas, someone on the staff. Whether that's the manager, I don't know. Moises Alou evidently doesn't want to manage, so I can't imagine he would want to coach. But there's a guy that the Padres would probably hire tomorrow if he wanted to manage. All sorts of ways to go and things to consider. Lots of things to consider.
And what also has to be considered in the time we have left is, as you wrote the other day, manager is not the only problem this team has. I know there's people out there who believe that just, you know, sweeping the manager and the coaches out and everything is solved, but there are issues on this roster as well. And, you know, could kind of go around the diamond a little bit. Obviously, third base and shortstop, you've got no problems. Second base, you really don't have a problem other than at this point you've got two players for that one position. Jake Cronenworth could easily move to first base if they were able to trade Eric Hosmer, which we know they tried to do previously. Catcher, I don't know where you do there. I mean, Austin Nola has yet to prove that he can stay healthy. Caratini played too much this year. Is Camposano ready? I mean, he certainly didn't look ready in April, but as you wrote, he had a good season in AAA. So at some point, when is he ready? The outfield, Will Myers, one more year on his contract, which actually, as you said, probably makes him more tradable now than ever before. Mm-hmm. Trent Grisham, to me, was a big disappointment this year. It's too early to give up on him, but you certainly have to ask questions about him. And left field, you know, Tommy Pham never really worked out here. So where do you want to start? Where are the, and then I didn't even get to the pitching, but just from a position player standpoint, where do you think they start?
Okay, so Eric Hosmer has 1 year at 20 million left and then 3 years at 13. Certainly they will try to move Eric Hosmer, but understand that they might not be able to until it goes down to the really manageable money. There's probably a designated hitter coming next year. I am not saying that everybody's thinking, hey, Eric Hosmer, he's going to be an excellent designated hitter. but the fact is, that is a place they can put him. Fact is, he was close to his previous numbers. There'll be another hitting coach coming in. Who knows? Maybe the 14th try is the trick with Eric Hosmer getting the ball in the air more. I don't know. So there's that, which could well, at least the DH could solve your whole Adam Frazier, Jake Cronenworth conundrum. Left field is obviously the place where you can go out and get someone or move Will Myers over, though I do think Will Myers is open for business in terms of, hey, if you want a good solid 780 OPS guy only 1 year, or maybe we'll take $8 to $10 million of this contract. Because as you said, they've got some work to do. They're going to try and add a starting pitcher, and they've got to kind of refashion the bullpen a little bit. So need some payroll flexibility. I feel like the catcher is like a good offensive lineman. You know, they don't grow on trees. Austin Nola is certainly, if he can stay healthy, gigantic if at this point, but sure. I don't know. I really don't know what you do. I think that the goal was always like 2023 for Luis Campusano. And that was before he lost 2020 in the minors. So he is only maybe 23 now. It's 22, I think, or whatever. He's a very young kid who had played 140 minor league games, none of them above low or high A at the time. Right. Blake Elsner was high A. Part of me, Jay, is like, man, there's so much work to do. And then part of me is like, you know, they can be pretty good. It's not too far off.
Well, you kind of have to count on, as part of, if you're going to go down that road, then what you're counting on is we're bringing in a new manager and new coaches, and they're going to make a big difference.
AJ Preller is a huge believer in that.
Right. And so AJ is going to believe, this is without knowing AJ at all, but I would think AJ would believe, if I bring in the right manager and the right outfield coach or hitting coach or something, I'm going to turn Trent Grisham into the player we thought he was becoming in 2020, and showed at times this year that he could be, but we're going to keep him from those ruts. And so if you get that in place and he plays better, then that's obviously a big bonus.
Who has the best deals in the auto game? It's got to be Jack Powell, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, the Auto All-Stars. Right now, lease a new 2021 Ram 1500 Warlock Edition, Jeep Grand Cherokee Laredo, or Jeep Renegade Latitude for only $198 a month, or 0% APR and no payments for 90 days. Head to Jack Powell, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram in Escondido, San Diego, where we make shopping easy. Find these deals today during Jeep Adventure Days.
Well, you say, you know, like you bring up, he's now going to hire his 47th hitting coach. How great has he been at this? We'll see. How much input will this new manager have? Look, Jace Tingler had some input, but Jace Tingler was also a rookie manager at 38 years old, getting the opportunity of a lifetime. I don't think he was sitting there vetoing Larry Rothschild. Okay. I don't think that was a chance. That was in the heck that was going to happen. So, how much will the new manager have there? So it'll be interesting. Here's what's happening. AJ Preller believes in his vision. So he's sort of doubling down, right? On this is how I'm going to do it, right? I didn't bring in new people to run my player development or my scouting. I brought in the guys I really believe in, or I shuffled and I put those guys there. I'm getting rid of this manager. We're not going to change the structure so much, but we're going to do it the way that I want to do it. And so, okay. I guess we're going to see, aren't we, his way is the way.
It is. And I think that that Bryce Miller and I talked, and we, the three of us talked about that yesterday. And that was something that Bryce was going to write about yesterday until he got the interview with Peter. So I think that's something to look forward to today, is that I think Bryce is writing basically what we've talked about a little bit, and which is that this is on AJ now. You know, he's the one that this is his team. He's got the 100% belief from, you know, the team chairman and all that. But at some point, you got to have a winning season. over 162 games, and you've got to show that you can do that. And I feel like, you know, you hate to say, well, it's make or break in 2022, but it feels like it's make or break in 2022. You can't have another year like this and expect the people that you work for to still sort of believe in your vision. And I think whatever that vision is and however he wants to implement it, I think he better empty the notebook here.
This isn't a rebuild again, right? Like this right. isn't after 2015.
This is now.
This is Tatis entering his prime. Let's not forget that this record-breaking kid is 22. He hasn't even entered his prime.
Oh, no.
And Machado, who's showing no signs of slowing down, except that he got hurt, whatever, at the end of his prime, or at least approaching the end of his prime. Yeah. So the time is now. I mean, Blake Snell, let's say, and I happen to think that based on what I saw, that was real. So if that's Blake Snell, right? Okay. 2-something ERA or low threes. Great. Awesome. Yu Darvish, if he can get fixed. Whatever. Awful lot of money in this team. The time is now.
Yeah. No, I think that's true. So, and we'll have much more time to talk about it in the coming months. And we'll pop back on here occasionally when there's things we want to talk about with everyone. And until then, we'll let people follow you and Bryce and Jeff and Tom and read all the stuff. It was good to hear from some people yesterday talking about how much they appreciated and enjoyed the coverage, not just yesterday, but through the season. I had one guy tell me he was on an introductory contract, if you will, as a subscriber, and he was definitely going to renew when that ran out because he was really impressed with the work you guys have done. So I think that's awesome. It's good going forward, and we'll look forward to more of that, and we'll look forward to hearing from the fans and the readers as we go forward.
Thanks, everybody.